That's the sound of about 100 people gathered at the Quaker Meeting House on the east side of Providence. They're taking part in the state's largest gathering of Sacred Harp singers. They came from all across New England and the Mid-Atlantic for the event, during which they sang dozens of songs, one after the other, for hours on end. These people aren't your regular trained choir. They're using a practice known as shape note singing. That's a way of writing music for those without classical training.
Shape note notation links a particular shaped note head to a scale degree.
That's Kiri Miller, a professor of music at Brown University, who, full disclosure, is also the wife of one of my coworkers. And what Miller is saying is that an actual printed shape, a rectangle, a triangle, a square, is used to represent a specific scale degree.
So a lot of people are familiar with like the do a di or like do re mi system from The Sound of Music or from their early music classes or whatever.
You remember.
Do a di. A female deer, ray, a
dragon. So in shape notation, there's an individual shape attached to each of the syllables used in that system.
So basically, it's this sort of shorthand where if you're looking at a page of printed music and you see a triangle, you know that that's a fa. And if you see a circle, you know that that's a so. And when you're sight singing, you're doing this process of translating the shapes into the scale syllables that match those shapes.
So that's shape note singing. Now, what's sacred harp singing? Well, that just refers to the title of the book of songs the group sings from. There are other tune books, but the sacred harp is by far the most popular. By the way, if you think it sounds like you're listening to a church service, well, you wouldn't be right, but you wouldn't be wrong either. Sacred harp singing grew up in the American church. Shape notation began at the turn of the century as a way to teach people how to read music without extensive training. Again, Kiri Miller.
In the early American music education movements, there tended to be an orientation towards improving church music, so improving the quality of choral singing in churches. So often your sight singing would kind of dovetail with your religious practice in some way.
Throughout the 1800s, sacred harp singing spread from north to south, but as music education grew, sacred harp looked more and more like a shortcut and fell out of favor. So I was curious as to how all the singers in Providence came to the sacred harp.
I'm Gwen Gethner, and I'm from New York City. I started when I was in college. I went to Smith in Western Mass, and there's actually a singing that's on the campus.
My name is Mason Sheffa, and I come from New Haven. At Yale, I found out that there was a shape note singing, and I went to one meeting, and I fell in love with it.
My name is Deidre Montgomery from Somerville, Massachusetts. My first semester at Amherst College, fall of 2006, I took an introduction to music class, and my professors happen to be sacred harp singers.
I'm sure you've noticed a pattern. The vast majority of people I spoke with were introduced to sacred harp in college. Some said they thought it was because academics at various institutions rediscovered shape note singing and passed it on to their students. And of the handful of attendees I spoke with, only one, Mason Sheffa, self-identified as a Christian.
I definitely approached it from a religious perspective. I do identify as Christian. And so for me, there's a two-pronged sense that I get during the singing. It's half the community forming a good relationship with other people and also worshiping God.
Some liken sacred harp singing to the folk revival, simply a place where all people can come together to make music. But surrounded by friends and uplifting song, it's hard not to separate the spiritual from the secular, says singer Patty Worry.
I guess I don't have a really straightforward answer to what kind of religious experience it is for me. What I really value is that it brings together people who have many different religious perspectives, including no particular religious belief, and that's what I love about it.
Fellow singer Gwen Gathner agreed.
For me, it's a very spiritual experience to sing this really powerful music with people whom I really care about, but it's not religious as such.
And singer Deidre Montgomery says for her, the issue is as complicated as it is simple.
I don't know if there's really a way that you can get a bunch of people in a room singing together anything, and there's not something spiritual about it, like about the way that we're all connected. It's just undeniably powerful.
John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.